Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Hebrews chapter number 9 this morning, and if you've ever prayed for me, I hope that you'll pray for me this morning. I worked all week getting a message together and had it all together. As a matter of fact, I talked to Brother Mike about it yesterday and was asking him a few things about it yesterday, and about 5:30 this morning, the Lord woke me up and put something completely different on my mind. Now, I like that and I don't like that. Now, here's the reason I do like that. It lets me know that the Lord still speaks to me. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I like it when He speaks to me. Amen. The reason I don't like that is because I feel ill prepared when I can't put a lot of hours into studying. And I've been asked before, how many hours do you put into a message? It just depends. Some, such as this, there's about an hour and a half in it, but others, there's usually 40 or 50 hours in. And so you pray for us this morning. I really believe this is where the Lord wants us at. And when I started getting those messages this morning, it was just kind of like the Lord confirming in my heart I was exactly where I was supposed to be at in this passage of Scripture. Hebrews is a very interesting book, and I love to study the book of Hebrews. Matter of fact, one writer said this about the book of Hebrews: it is a better book. And what he simply means by that, as you read the book of Hebrews, you will find the word better on several different occasions. And in chapter number 9 of the book of Hebrews, we find a better sacrifice for sin. We find a better sacrifice for sin. Now, allow me a little bit of time. I normally read a text and jump straight into it, but allow me a little bit of time to explain what he is talking about in the beginning of chapter number 9. As you begin reading chapter number 9, the writer of Hebrews, and there's discussion who that is. I know who I think it is, but anyway, the writer of Hebrews takes us back to the Old Testament is what he does. He begins to explain to us the temple or the tabernacle in the Old Testament. He begins to talk about the blood of goats and of calves and of doves, and he begins to talk about that sacrifice in the Old Testament. Now, here is what happened before Calvary. Once a year, they would come to the tabernacle and they would bring a sin offering to the tabernacle. That priest would kill that sin offering, and if it was the burnt offering that he was dealing with, he would fillet it, he would burn the flesh, and so on and so on. We could go through all of that, and then he would take that blood and he would place that blood on the mercy seat, and that for a year their sins had been forgiven for a year. But every year they had to go back and that sacrifice had to be made every year as they went back to the tabernacle to make that blood sacrifice. Now, here's something as you study the Word of God that you'll find that the Word of God is a bloody book. I'll say this in passing. I remember when we was in Scotland and England one time, back several years ago, the preacher was preaching and began talking about the Bible being a bloody book. And everybody in there got quiet. You could hear the... As he said that, and I didn't know this, but bloody there is a slang word, as some slang or curse words is used here. So as he was saying a bloody book, they didn't understand what he was saying. But I think you understand what I'm saying today. If you've read your Bible very long at all, you realize that the Word of God is a bloody book. Right from the very beginning, what happened? Adam and Eve sinned. What did God do? God killed an animal. animal and provided coats of skin to cover them. It took the blood for them to be forgiven for their sins. And all throughout those dispensations of the Old Testament, here's what had to happen. An animal had to die, a sacrifice had to be made. But also all throughout the Old Testament, there was prophesying of a man to come, and his name would be Jesus. Amen. He would save his people from their sins. He would come. He would live a spotless life. He would never sin the first time. He would walk yonder to Calvary's hill and would die, would shed his blood, the ultimate sacrifice for all of mankind. We know as we celebrate this month, the month of Easter, we know that we celebrate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as the writer begins to bring us into chapter number 9 of Hebrews, he is reminding us of that Old Testament sacrifice. Now, if you found your place, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Look in verse number 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained, I like this, eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve, watch this, the living, not a dead, the living God. Look in verse number 22. And almost all things are purged, almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Look back in verse number 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I want to preach to you on this thought, the purchase of the blood. Father, I love you today. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings. I thank you, God, for being good to us. I pray, God, that you'd help us today. I pray, God, that you'd bring back to our mind and our remembrance, God, things, Lord, that we've even studied in the past. And, Lord, I know that I wrote all this down this morning, God. And Lord, you gave us these thoughts this morning. But, God, I pray that, Lord, that you'd add a blessing to them today, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd help our feeble efforts this morning, God. And may he, the Holy Spirit, preach through us. God, if there's anybody here today lost, I pray that this would be the day of salvation for them, God. And we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory. We'll give you the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated today. Again, I want to talk to you just a little bit about the purchase of the blood. The purchase of the blood. Now, as I've already stated to you, that Old Testament tabernacle and that Old Testament sacrifice was something that was just temporary. It only lasted 1 year. And at the end of the year, Brother Dakota, they had to come back and they had to make a blood sacrifice again for the covering of their sins. Now, can I say this to you today? Because of Calvary, there is no longer needed a blood sacrifice. There has been a better sacrifice that was made on Calvary's hill that day. I've often wondered this. Why did Jesus do what he did? You ever thought about that? Why did Jesus do what he did? The only answer that we can give is one simple word, and that word is love. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Because he loved you and because he loved me. We sing that little children's song. We consider it a children's song a lot of times. That says this, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. And aren't you glad that Jesus loves us today? Let me show you three things about the purchase of the blood today. The purchase of the blood today. Number one, I see that it was a pure purchase. It was a pure purchase. You see, whenever you began to study out that Old Testament sacrifice, and boy, I wish I'd really had time this morning to really dig back in and refresh my memory good on that. But when you begin to study that Old Testament sacrifice out, matter of fact, you can go back to the book of Exodus when that death angel was passing by, and the only way the children of Israel would escape that death angel passing by was what? If the blood was applied to the doorpost. I began to think about that, and in the moments that I had this morning, I began to walk back down memory lane of that. And here was the thing about that. That sacrifice had to be right. It couldn't just be anything. There was certain requirements. And can I say it this way? It had to be pure. The reason the Old Testament sacrifice could not save was due to the character of the blood that it was shedding. In other words, it could cover sin for just a little while. And can I say this? I'll say it again at the end of the day. My sins are not covered today. My sins are gone. My sins are not blotted out like a thick cloud today. My sins are gone. My sins are not cast as far as east is from the west. All of that was pre-Calvary. Amen. Think about this. It was pure. I began to think about this. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 12 says this. Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. You see, Adam brought sin into the world, and because of that, sin had been placed on mankind. And as we began to read the Old Testament and walk through the pages of the history of our Old Testament, they was prophesying of a man by the name of Jesus, which would come. And here's what they said. He'll be born by the way of what? A virgin. By the way of a virgin. I began to think about that. And that blood type coming from the Father. And you know what he was saying? Here's what he was saying. The reason that Jesus come by the way of a virgin is so that his purchase for mankind would be a pure purchase. It was pure. Here's what the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Without blemish and without spot. You know what that Old Testament sacrifice had to be? This, it had to be completely perfect. It had to be, it couldn't have no broke bones. It had to be completely perfect. You know what they done to the other thieves that was on the cross that day? The two thieves, we know Jesus wasn't a thief, but you know what the custom was? The custom was to break their leg. Here's the reason why. That's the way that they would catch their breath as they hung on the cross that day. They would push themselves up and they could catch their breath, but they would break their leg so that they couldn't do that. But you know what? When you study the life of Christ on Calvary that day, was his leg ever broken? No, his leg was never broken. He yielded up the ghost. He said, Father, into thine hands do I commend my spirit. They didn't kill him that day. He let himself die. How can you kill life itself? And then what did they do? They took a spear and pushed it into his side. And here's what it is saying to us today. That sacrifice, that purchase of his blood was pure today. He never sinned the first time. He never messed up the first time. I don't think he ever talked to his mama the first time. I don't think he ever talked to his earthly father, the first time. I don't think he ever had the first bad attitude. You say, did he ever get angry? I'm sure that he did, but that's not a sin. Be angry and sin not. It becomes sin when we react on our anger. You led somebody to take their throat and clear it and spit on your face and see if you get mad. They spit upon him that day. He was the God man. He was human. He was the deity of God wrapped in humanity. Amen. But he never sinned the first time. I thought about this. Here's what Pilate said about him in Luke 23:4. I find no fault in him. Here's what the thief said about him in Luke 23:41. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. I thought about Matthew 27:54. When the centurion said this. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. I thought about this in Revelation 4:8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day or night, saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and is to come. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this morning, when we look into the pages of God's holy word, we've got a better sacrifice in the Lord Jesus Christ, in that he was pure today. He was pure. He never messed up. He never sinned. He never dropped the ball. It was a pure purchase. Watch this, number two. It's not only a pure purchase, but I thought about this early this morning. It was a personal purchase. It was a personal purchase. Verse number 12 again says this, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. By his own blood. I read this. It said, the depths of this statement has not, nor ever will be, plumbed by human minds. To understand the thought demands that we understand how God himself could be born in human flesh and how he could submit to death on a cross for sinners. Yet this is exactly what he did for every one of us. It was a personal purchase. Listen to what the Bible said in Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let me tell you who died on Calvary that day. The darling Lamb of God, the Son of God. He personally purchased me. He personally purchased me. He personally, think about that this morning, church. He personally laid his life down willingly. He personally done that. I've heard people make this statement before. I want to be like Christ. Well, let me tell you what, if you want to be like Christ, number one, you'll be a servant. And you know what a servant does? A servant does whatever the master needs done. The servant has one goal, and that is to be pleasing to the master. If you want to be like him, now this is a rabbit trail, but I'm going to chase it real quick. You'll not only be a servant, but you'll learn to die. I'm not talking about a physical death, but I am talking about every day of your life. You will die to yourself and tell yourself, you're not running the show today. I'm submitting my life to Christ. I'm allowing Christ to run my life today. When you think about saying something you shouldn't say, you allow the Holy Spirit to step in and bridle your mouth. Amen this morning. And when we think about Christ and the purchase that Christ made, it was a very personal purchase. Christ himself died for us. I know I've heard people say this before. God searched all over heaven for somebody to die for mankind. God didn't make no search all over heaven. Let me tell you the reason why. There wasn't nobody else. There was not but one that could pay the sin debt for mankind. And he loved you. Whoa, yeah. He loved you. And he loved me enough that he... Let me read you something. Let me read you something. Let me just time out a minute. Let me find something. Let me find this. Isaiah. Listen to what he says right here. Here it is. Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne, watch this, our griefs, and carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded, listen to the Bible, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, hallelujah, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. That's us, church. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him what? The iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he openeth not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his slaughters is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generations? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. You know what he's saying? Here's what he's saying. Christ done all of that. Christ suffered Calvary. Christ suffered the beating of a cat of nine tails. I believe in all of my heart that they tried their best to kill him right there. A lot of people says he had 40 stripes save one. Personally, I believe he got more than that. You study the Roman laws of crucifixion, and every Roman law of crucifixion was broken that day. Every one of them. So why would they have kept that one? It was the custom, 40 stripes save one. That was the custom. But if they had not... any other custom, why did they keep that day? Why? It was personal. He done that for you and for me. That cat of nine tails, those bones and those glass and the different things that was in that. Those men that used that cat of nine tails, they were so strategically trained, Miss Kelsey, in what I studied. And here's what it said. They bent him over of what we would kindly know as a 55-gallon drum. And some even say that they strapped their hands to their ankles that day. And he was bent over that day. And they took that cat of nine tails. And they wasn't just hitting him. But here's what they said. They would, Brother Zeb, they would take that cat of nine tails. And they were so trained how they would distribute their weight to get every part, every muscle, every ounce within their body in that. And they would strike the back of the darling Lamb of God. That should have been you. They'd strike the back of the darling Lamb of God. And then as it hit, they would wait for all nine tails, all nine pieces of leather, and everything in it to smack into the back of the darling Lamb of God and lodge into it. And then they would rip back like this. They would come down and wait and rip back like this. And in turn, it ripped. His bowels gushed from within. He said in Psalms 22 that his own bones stared at him. He was beaten beyond recognition. Revelations 5 said that he looked as, like a lamb that had been slain. You want me to tell you the reason Christ done that? You want me to tell you the reason he was spit upon? You want me to tell you the reason they smote him that day and the very beard was plucked from his face? You want me to tell you the reason that they placed a crown of thorns upon his head? Here's the reason why. Look in the mirror. It was for you. It was for me. And he done it. He done it. Nobody else. Nobody. Abraham couldn't do it. Isaac couldn't do it. Joseph couldn't do it. Mary couldn't do it. But the darling Lamb of God. Why? Because it had to be pure. And he was the only one. Oh yeah, he was the only one carrying a pure bloodline. And he said, I'm willing to shed, not spill, to shed all of my blood so that mankind could be saved. Listen to what he said in Romans chapter number 5. He said this, but God commended his love towards us. Now listen, and that while we were yet sinners. Did you catch that? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen to what he said in verse number 9. Much more than being now justified by what? His blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. It was a personal purchase. Now I want you to just, I'm about dumb, but I want you to think just a minute with me this morning. I want you to let your mind, and I don't do this much because I don't believe in living in the past. I've been preaching a lot on go and moving forward on Wednesday night. I want you to take just a minute this morning, and I want you to let your mind go back to that day when you was living a wicked, vile life. Now, I think of me, I grew up in a preacher's home. All I ever knew was church. But there was a day in my life, man, When I promise you, there was a lot of things there that didn't need to be there. I've made mistakes just like anybody else. But you think back to that weakest moment in your life and that wickedest moment in your life. And if you think about it, that wickedest thing that you ever done in your life. Can I tell you something? When Jesus was being beat with a cat of nine tails, he knew that. He knew what you would do. He knew how many times. He knew how many times that I'd fail him. He knew how many times I'd drop the ball. He knew how many times that I would let my feelings get on my shoulders and hinder the service because I had always somebody else. And you know what he done? He still loved me. He still said, that's all right. Father, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It was a very personal purchase that day. Jesus Christ himself purchased you and purchased me. I see this. Number one, it was a pure purchase. Number two, it was a personal purchase. It was personal in that he personally died for me, but also it was personal in that I personally received him. You see, God and I has a personal relationship. Can I say it that way? I can tell him things that I can't tell nobody else. And you know what? Sometimes, I'm trying to get done, but sometimes we mess up and whenever we go to God and begin to confess that, the devil will say, there's no use. You don't need to tell him about that, but he already knows. He already knows. He knew it before we ever done it, but we done it anyway, and he still loved us. It was personal. Let me show you one more thing. It was a pure purchase. It was a personal purchase. And then I see this, looking in verse number 12. The Bible said, by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained, I like this, eternal redemption for us. That purchase that day was a pure purchase. That purchase that day was a personal purchase. But can I say this? The day I got saved, it was a permanent purchase. It was a permanent purchase. I didn't save myself. Salvation is not within me. David said it this way, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Salvation's in the Lord today. He's the one that's, when Jesus died, he took the blood back. Somewhere along the way, I personally think it was right after he talked to Mary, because he told Mary she couldn't touch him. But right after that, when he seen Thomas, he said, thrust your hand into my side. He made a trip. Placed the blood on the mercy seat. Hallelujah. I don't have time to preach all that Old Testament typology right there. But you that understands the order of Melchizedek and all, that's what he did. Forever. Forever. It's purchased. It was a permanent purchase that day. Salvation is of the Lord. Jesus came back. He stuck around 40 days. He sent it into the heavens. And he said this. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost, which is the comforter. But the Bible also says this, that we are sealed by the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. Amen. Amen. And amen again. It was a permanent. I was preaching one time in Cherokee, Rock Springs Baptist Church. And it's a reservation church, and there's a bunch of people in it, Brother Bailey. Now, you've been there with me. And I was talking about the Lord saving me and what God done for me. And I said, God gave me salvation. God gave me His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And I said, I'm going to tell you right now. Now, Brother Charles, don't get mad at me, okay? I said, I'm going to tell you right now. You'll understand here in just a second. God isn't no Indian giver. What He give us, He's not going to take away. About the time I said it, I thought, this is probably not the right place to say that. But do you understand the analogy? God gave me salvation. You say, well, preacher, there's times that I miss the mark now that I'm saved. There's times that I miss it also. But he said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. I thought about that little song. This says this. You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. It's because my sins are gone. I read this morning. Come start playing if you don't mind. I read this morning. Let me read it to you. It said the words having obtained in verse number 12. The words having obtained refer to a one time for all time action. The word eternal means abiding, constant, unending, eternal. And the word redemption means, watch this, to release after the payment of a ransom price, after which the guilty party is forever delivered from all guilt and punishment. When all these truths are compiled together, we are all left with the conclusion that the salvation Jesus provides and the redemption the saints enjoys is an eternal redemption. Listen to this. Having obtained one time for all time action. Eternal means abiding, constant, unending, eternal. And the word redemption means this. Listen, to release after the payment of a ransom price, after which the guilty party is forever delivered from all guilt and punishment. Let me just say it again. Redemption means to release after the payment of a ransom price, after which the guilty party is forever delivered from all guilt and punishment. Let me read it again. Redemption. That's what we got. What did he say? Once into the holy place, having obtained what? Eternal redemption. Listen, I'm headed somewhere. To release after the payment of a ransom price, after which the guilty party is forever delivered from all guilt in punishment. You see, the reason you feel that you've not been delivered from all guilt is because you've not forgiven yourself. And if God can forgive you, in the words of Alan Barker, somebody hold my mule while I shout. If God can forgive you, you need to let your past be the past and tell the devil to go back to hell and leave you alone. He's already done it. And here's what he said. Once I do it, I set you free. Let's rewind back 30 minutes to where I started at. A lot of people think salvation is bondage. But I wonder who else is in the room today that there was a time that you lived in bondage. But the Lord came by your way one day. And because He came by and gave you a new start in life, you sit here today liberated and set free. Y'all remember John David Dorsey? I got to get him back up here. I tried to last year, or actually this year, and we couldn't get the dates worked out. Y'all, one of the very first times Red ever preached here, he said, here you are trying to serve God. He said, you got your wheelbarrow. He said, you're rolling that wheelbarrow around trying to serve God. And inside that wheelbarrow is all them sins of the past. And every time you try to tell somebody about Jesus, one of those sins from the past sticks its head up out of the wheelbarrow and waves at you. It says, you can't do that. Don't you remember what you used to drink? Don't you remember that juju weed you used to smoke? Are you with me? Here you are trying to serve God, pushing your little wheelbarrow around. And every time you try to do something for God, that little sin sticks its head up. Yesterday, we come back from eating. I walked up the goat lot and I seen the mama and I didn't see no babies. And I thought, well, where the babies at? So I went to holler, hey, Cole. Hey, Oreo. Don't mind no babies. We put a big old tire out there. I got to looking around that tire and I thought, well, there ain't nowhere around that tire. And all of a sudden, I seen two little horns about that big stick up from inside that tire. And I thought, well, them crazy goats is up there in that tire. And I walked up there, and the closer I got, finally one of them's head stuck up, the other one's head stuck up, and they's laying down inside that tire. And here's what happens. You go to trying to serve God, that sin starts sticking its head up out of that little wheelbarrow that you push around trying to serve God. Here's what Red said. He said, you need to take your little wheelbarrow of sin and roll it right up here in an altar. And let the Lord take a triaxle dump truck loaded with grace and pull up to the altar and put it in reverse. Beep, 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 beep. And back up to that little wheelbarrow of sin and dump a dump truck load of grace in your little wheelbarrow of sin and go on and serve God. God's forgiven you for it. That's what He just said right there. He sets us free from that. He liberates us from that. We don't have to live in that no more. God's forgive us. And He purchased us permanently. I said this in the beginning. Did we take up an offering? I mean, you can tell what the preacher's after today, can't you? Preaching on the board, but where's the money at, bless God? I just thought, man, I thought we took up an offering. Here's what I said earlier. If my sins was blotted out by a thick cloud, it was in the Old Testament. All those verses, that's pre-Calvary. You know what? That, y'all can't see that, can you? That G, Miss Leslie will fix that, could be my sin. It'd be covered up by that cloud, but you know what? The clouds move. Yesterday is real cloudy and it's sunny outside today. Why? Because the clouds move. You know what? If the clouds was to move one day, well, right there'd be all my sin. You know what? If it was cast as far as the east is from the west, somewhere out there floating around would be all my sin. If it was cast in the depths of the sea, well, Brother Greg and Brother Mac might go fishing and hook a big one and pull it up It'd be all the sins that I'd ever committed. But you know what happened on Calvary that day? The blood of Christ washed away every bit of our sins. If you go to heaven today, and Satan does this, he's the accuser of mankind before God. Job 1 tells us that. And Satan says, well, what about Jerry Kidd? The Lord calls one of the angels, maybe. Just think with me a minute. Now, I don't know this is the way it is, but it makes for good preaching right now. Calls one of the angels and says, come over here, get the book of life, and see if Jerry's kid's name's in there. Well, yes, sir, right here it is. Right here it is. He says, well, the devil says, Jerry used to drink this. Jerry used to say this. Jerry used to act like this. That angel looks back at God and says, well, all I see is the blood of Jesus. I don't see none of that. All I see is the blood of Jesus. That's all I can find. Well, what about Zeb Potts? I know we'll find a bunch on him. They go over to the Z section or to the P section, one of the two. I don't know how it's all laid out. He says, well, is your name there? Okay, I just had to make sure. He says, yeah, right here, Zebulun West Potts. Isn't that your name? I can't believe I remember that. Zebulun West Potts. The devil says, don't you remember that time that he acted this way or he done that? Well, pull the record. He looks down the record and the angel says, well, you know what? All I can see is blood. Maybe the son sitting over there going, that's right. That's why I went to Calvary. Well, pull up Lloyd Johnson. Oh, yep, right here it is. What about that day he done this? That day he done that. And the son goes, you'll find the same record. There's nothing but blood there. Well, what about Jonathan Barker? He flips over there and goes, yeah, right here's his name. Well, what about when he done this? Yes, that's right. What about when he done that? And he goes, the son speaks up again and goes, you're not going to find nothing there. All you'll find is my pure, precious, spotless blood. Why? Because the purchase was permanent. The purchase was permanent. I'm going to ask you a question today. Are you saved? If you're not, the blood of Christ will save you today. You can be liberated. You can be set free. Salvation is not a bunch of strict rules and regulations. It's liberation. It's being set free. Now I want to ask you this question. If you're saved, not saved, number one, I'd say you need to come get saved. Number two, if you're sitting here today and the devil's beating you up with your past, tell the devil to get back to hell and leave you alone. God saved you. God's got a purpose for your life. God wants to use you. These people been down different roads here. And you know the reason I believe sometimes God puts a multitude of different testimonies in a church. Here's the reason why. Some people in here, some of these young people, as I was go down a road that I've never been down, but some of y'all's been down. And if you're not careful, you're going to let the devil beat you down and not serve him. And you could be a help to one of these young people. Like, I can't be a help to them because you started down that road. And you can say, here's what it'll do to your life. I know what it'll do to your life. I know the lonely nights. I know the miserable nights. Oh, but I also know about a day that the Lord changed my life. Let him use you. He saved you for a reason.